2VM on the phone. I've got Mark Colton, who is the Federal Member for Parks. How you doing, Mark?
Well, thanks, Cam. In Canberra this week, it's the last sitting week of the year, so there's a little bit happening. There's legislation will be voted on today on mitochondrial donation, which is it's actually a conscience vote because of health reasons, and it's about being able to, I guess, people that have this condition can have it rectified in the early stages of conception, and it's cutting-edge technology, but there are some moral issues attached to it, but that's been discussed at the moment, and will be a vote later today.
Let's start off with productivity, hydrogen from solar. Jeez, it sounds confusing.
Look, last week I was in the bottom end of my electorate down the south at Lake Cajeligo, and the Commonwealth Government's putting $9.8 million into a project, $20 million project, with a local company down at Lake Cajeligo and Toshiba International from Japan. So basically generating electricity from solar panels that is used to heat up big 10-ton blocks of graphite. That graphite has pipes running through them that run water that generates steam, and that steam then ultimately will be used to produce hydrogen, and not in large quantities that you'd put in a truck and move around or export. This is the sort of thing that you might be producing your own hydrogen to run maybe irrigation pumps or ultimately electric vehicles that you know, might be electric delivery vehicles or ultimately electric farm vehicles as we progress down that path. And so quite interesting that, you know, we think a lot of these cutting-edge technologies are developed, you know, somewhere else, but this is actually happening in a paddock in my electorate at Lake Cajeligo. And so it's very interesting to know that this is happening. I think it highlights, Cam, that it's really hard to comprehend what the world will look like in you know, 30 years' time with the way the technology is racing ahead. And so it was just an interesting thing to get in and see.
Yeah, if we don't blow ourselves up first, you know, or someone blows us up.
Yeah, I mean, tongue-in-cheek a bit, I guess, but there are tensions around, and we are, you know, that's another matter. And, you know, at the moment, you know, there's a lot of sort of things at play in our country. You know, we're dealing with COVID. In our backyard, we're dealing with the devastation of a, you know, a lot of crop damage, in some cases flooding, where we've seen houses inundated in some of the towns in my electorate. And overnight, your northern listeners will be on high alert up around Gundy because of, you know, what's coming down from Inglewood. So there's certainly a few forces at play at the moment.
Yeah, the floods are the one that we're worrying about. You got some info on the flood around the town?
The general information that's available to everyone, and that is that there has been, you know, quite considerable rain upstream in all the catchments, and you know, we need to be, you know, with it, everything so saturated. I was speaking to someone up at Warralda this morning. There was about another 33 mils there on top of sort of 25 from a couple of days ago. So all of that rainfall now is running off, and so, you know, I think what happened at Inglewood last night, and I was speaking to David Littleproud, the local member who'd been speaking with Lawrence Springborg, the minister, the mayor up there, and it happened so quickly, and they basically had to evacuate the whole town, you know, at 10 o'clock last night. So with the saturated soil that we have, everyone's just going to have to be particularly alert, you know, I think right over this summer, because things can change very, very quickly.
Yeah, there's some towns that they've been told that they can't even leave their town because it's flooded and too dangerous to get through.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, there's been a lot of, I think it's receding down at Narrabri at the moment and Gunnedah, but I'm driving home that way on Friday to call in and just check up on how they're going. But there's considerable damage. Obviously, multi-millions of dollars lost in crop damage, from crops being downgraded that'll still be harvested to other crops that are completely destroyed because they're underwater. But a lot of infrastructure damage on roads and bridges. And so the disaster declarations that have been announced opens a pipeline of funds to councils to to get in and get those repairs done. And when the waters recede and they can get out and about on some of these roads, they'll be the council staff will be out measuring and assessing the damage so that those claims can get passed through for payment, so that the jobs can be done. But it's going to be a very difficult summer, Cam. Not only if it stops raining and the headers can get out, it's going to be very difficult on a lot of the roads to get that grain, off farm and onto the market, wherever that might be. So, pretty difficult time at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a good day in Canberra. We're going to talk to you next week because we've got Christmas not too far away. So if we talk to you next week and then we go back to our regular schedule of 2 weeks, it'll bring us up to December 22, and that'll be the last time we speak before Christmas.
All right. Might have to sing a carol or two, mate.
That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
Thanks again. Bye.
Okay. Bye.